on the Open Studios Steering Committee. Stay tuned for that interview. First today, Del Arte International School of Physical Theater second year MFA students have spent this past year on an original community-based arts initiative, which will culminate in a special performance this Saturday night. Del Arte has been collaborating with the Raven Project, a youth-led street outreach program that is part of the Redwood Community Action Agency. More specifically, Del Arte has been working with Raven's Queer Coffee House. The result will be a public performance called Checked In, a Queer Cabaret. This Saturday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. at Synapsis Nova in Old Town Eureka. My guests are the Raven Project's youth educator, Calista Leerheimer, Raven's street outreach worker, Bonnie O'Neill, and Del Arte second-year MFA student, Faye Stedham. Now, I have to say that I am familiar with the Raven Project and obviously with the Redwood Community Action Agency and have been for years. But I am not familiar with the Queer Coffee House. And so I would like to start out by talking with Calista and also with Bonnie. Calista, your role as a youth educator, and Bonnie, your role as a street outreach worker for RCAA's Raven Project. When did the Queer Coffee House begin, and why did it begin? Why don't we start with Calista?
Well, it's been around since I started working. I actually was going to the Queer Coffee House before I started working. It's how I got a job at the Raven. And it's been going on for quite a long time. Yeah, I can't quite remember exactly when it came about, but it has been going since, you know, long before I started.
Yeah, so several years. You started.
Oh, certainly.
You started, like, when do you recall you attended the Queer Coffee House yourself?
I started going when I was in my third or fourth year of high school. So I've been going for, like, at least 3 years.
And so tell about what this location is, what this experience is. You as a participant, but you also as a youth educator for Raven.
Certainly, yeah. It's been very interesting because I started out not working, just participating and attending the meetings. And it was a really amazing experience to get to connect with a fellow queer youth and people that were open to so many ideals about equality and things of that nature, you know. And now that I'm working, it's been a really awesome experience as well because I helped to facilitate the group. And that's also been quite an enriching experience, not only getting to know these youth as a peer, but also on a professional level.
How does this work, you facilitating? What does that involve?
Yeah, I go in with Bon here, and we help to run the groups. So that means setting up and cleaning up afterwards. We can have like coffee brewing or tea. We set up the chairs or whatever room we need for making the space comfortable.
And how does this work, Bonnie, given that you are also helping facilitate this group? What happens with the group? I mean, I'm envisioning there are chairs, so obviously there's going to be conversation. There might be some kind of prompt given for conversation, or how does this work?
Yeah. So being staff of the Raven Project, I facilitate the Queer Coffee House, and normally we try to have activities that encourage community and communication between the youth, and it is a coffee house, so we provide coffee and tea, and sometimes there's goodies like donuts, but mostly we just try to create community and a safe place for kids to go when they need to kind of connect with people who are like themselves. And so we have, sometimes we play games, sometimes we do art projects, sometimes we do writing projects that kind of help open us up into spaces where we can kind of communicate with each other and create a good community. And when Del Arte is with us, we do a lot of really fun activities like a lot of movement games, and we've been painting a lot recently and working on the show. So normally every week we have enriching activities.
Is Queer Coffee House only open during certain times, or when can people go to it?
Yeah, so Queer Coffee House is Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30, typically at the Raven, which is located in Eureka. 523 T Street in Eureka. It is open to youth who identify along the queer spectrum, anywhere along the gender and sexual minority spectrum, and also their allies. So they can come at those times. Yeah.
Now, Del Arte got involved, Faye, the second year MFA students got involved in this collaboration about a year ago. And so what were the reasons for wanting to reach out to Raven and to the Queer Coffee House?
Well, every year Del Arte has been doing a community-based arts initiative. And usually within the second year MFA class, we might break up into a couple of different groups and do a couple of different projects with local partners. However, this year, because we received a grant, the entire ensemble, which is eight people, some of us international students and from all over the United States, came together, and we were introduced of, rather than for us to reach out and connect with a partner by ourselves, that Del Arte had already made that connection with the Raven Project. And it was actually, though it sort of changed in our minds of maybe what the second year scheduling would look like for all of us, I thought it was quite appropriate because in our second year MFA ensemble, a lot of the people in the group identify within the queer community and on the queer spectrum, which is different from other ensembles in terms of what specific qualities we had to add for our artwork in terms of our own diversity. So it was something that a lot of us had, you know, we've experienced being queer youth as well. So this was an exciting opportunity to say, like, yeah, how can we all together get to know the youth in this area? And I thought that it was quite perfect that Del Arte just happened to get this grant at this particular time and with this group of people.
Okay, I'm looking at a description of the event, Checked In, a queer cabaret, featuring poetry, songs, and performances by members of the Queer Coffee House in celebration of empowerment and visibility of queer and transgender youth in Humboldt County. So, Faye, Del Arte, the eight of you have spent time at the Queer Coffee House working with young people who attend the Queer Coffee House, and you're putting together this performance? Are you directing it, or how did this work with the participants in it? And then I'd like Bonnie and also Calista to talk about that as well.
Of course. So within the ensemble, we are eight people, so we've sort of divided and conquered, I guess you could say, in a sense, about what we would do during this project and how we could help one another to, you know, best get to know the Raven Project and the Queer Coffee House, and to help engage their practices, or at least their goals with a larger community in Humboldt. So when we first came to meet all of the Queer Coffee House members, I think that the first time our ensemble met was in November. A priority question for us was, you know, what are you doing right now, and what is something that you find yourself in need of? At that time, we talked a lot about outreach, and as well, I remember the leaders talking about that the youth often just wanted a place to be heard, to be listened to. And of course, we understand that. So as artists, we thought, how could we best narrow our focus into what do we want to accomplish through this partnership? And we found that we wanted to increase the visibility of these youth and of the Raven Project within the community, and furthermore to empower the youth to strengthen the pride of their voices and their presence in the community.
Well, finally, from each of you, starting with Calista, your goal for this event, for Checked In, a queer cabaret.
I think that one of my goals is to be able to create a space where people can not only find entertainment and a wide array of, the cabaret and performances, but also to help facilitate a space where people can express themselves and have the freedom to show something that's very much so a part of themselves, to put that on display, and also to be able to empower themselves through their experiences that have come about through the process of making this performance happen.
And Bonnie, your thoughts?
I definitely second the empowerment aspect of what you said. Empowerment is really important for young people to feel. And also, I think this show, one of my goals of this show is to really capitalize on visibility and showing the community that we do have a very vibrant and energetic and colorful queer youth community here, and that they deserve to be respected, and that their presence should not be ignored or looked over. And visibility, I think, is really important in this one, and that's definitely an aspect of the show, is I'm here, I'm queer, and I'm awesome.
And Faye, your thoughts?
For the show, for the process that we've all gone through with the Raven Project and the Queer Coffee House, our goals are definitely to, just to strengthen the community unity between the queer youth in the community and the greater whole. And also, I think that, we want to not only share that there is this presence, but to hopefully, give this sort of shining light, or shine a light onto the Raven Project, so that if there are other queer youth out there who are looking for a place that they can feel safe, that they can learn about their identity even more through a safe place to express that, I would really love if through our work we could also engage those unreached people as well, so that they can find a place of comfort and a place of friendship at the Queer Coffee House.
Faye Stedham, second year MFA student at Del Arte International in Blue Lake. Also here have been the Raven Project's youth educator, Calista Lierheimer, Raven's street outreach worker, Bonnie O'Neill, was here as well. Checked In, a queer cabaret, this Saturday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. at Synapsis Nova, 212 G Street, Suite 102, Eureka. For more information about the Raven Project, you can visit rcaa.org. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves, and you've got it on KHSU. The 19th annual North Coast Open Studios will be held this Saturday and Sunday, June 3rd and 4th, and next Saturday and Sunday, June 10th and 11th. New this year, the studio's open hours will be extended, and they are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Also new, there will be a First Friday North Coast Open Studios Art Night, a preview of sorts, this Friday, 6 to 9 p.m., offered by 80 of the 154 participating artists. My guests are participating artists and Open Studios Steering Committee members: Mary Bancud Bettis, and Christina Anastasia Swingler, who begins the interview.
People will be coming into my home, which is my natural habitat. That's kind of where it was the term, visiting artists in their natural habitat. The community actually gets to come and see us artists work in our environment. And for some of it, it is our home. Others, it's an outside studio away from our home. For me, it is in my home. I'll make you a cup of tea in my kitchen. Like, I am inviting you into my home, my creative lair, and it's very personal.
It's interesting, the words you're choosing. I'm thinking artists in their natural habitat. I'm reminded of, you know, say you're some sort of creature.
Yeah.
And you're going to be sort of climbing the wall. And we're watching you.
Yeah, well, right? In a way, yes. Before participating in open studios, I used to enjoy going to them because every artist has such a unique take on creation and their place in the world and how they express themselves in this very diverse, unique world that we live in. And it's such a fascinating glimpse into another way of existence. It's really quite curious.
Let's go over to Mary. Your studio is titled Lotus Studio. Where is it located?
It's 632nd Street in Old Town.
Okay.
So I'm more closer to 2nd and H Street.
Okay. But Christina, you're not 2nd and anything, right?
I'm 13th and G.
13th
just
and
right
G.
up from the Eureka Inn.
Okay.
We could say south of Old Town.
There you go.
South.
Walking distance
there
to each other.
Yeah.
But I want to continue now with Mary, you talking about your, I guess in a way it's a transition to pottery. Your studio is a pottery studio, but you weren't always exclusively a potter. So talk about that.
I went to school down in Santa Monica College and I started drawing. And well, I took some high school art classes, but I really focused on the pencil and charcoal drawings, and I just was pretty fascinated with it. Took a couple years on that, and then I did watercolor, and then I somehow married and had children, and my children were taking a class in pottery. It was a City of Eureka pottery class, and I saw what they were doing and how fun it was, so I thought I would like to do that too. So once I got started, I just couldn't stop. It's been my love all this time.
You know, as a potter, your hands are around your art.
I agree. It is. You take it from mud, and then you form it, you let it dry, you fire it, and then you paint it however you want. That's where my painting comes in, my watercolors and my drawing, and I try and create like a shading, a three-dimensional painting as I could on my art pieces and just have a lot of fun with it. So, and then fire it again. So it's a long process. I agree.
And you're going to be open both weekends.
Correct.
Right? And are they all open from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m.?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And yeah, this year, ordinarily we opened at 11 a.m., but this year we're expanding open studios by an hour to 10 a.m., oh gosh, the middle of the night. Yeah, so 10 a.m. <Yeah.
laughs> And have a lot of wine.
That's when I go to bed.
Exactly. Let's see. And the fact that you're going to be having a party the Friday before.
Yeah. It's a 3-day party, huh?
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the next weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. So moving over to Christina. Other than me describing your work as very shiny and colorful, what types of art do you create? You want to say jewelry? What do we want to say? There's a dramatic pause. I'm looking at the sparkles on her neck.
Yeah, I'll pass this over to you so you can feel this. This is what I call a beast.
Wow. Is a beast.
Okay, she's handed over her beast here. And it's full of different types of beads and very, very, very sparkly.
Yeah.
Very sparkly, very heavy.
Yeah.
Very heavy. Ouch. Is. And you wear this around your neck.
Precisely. Using vintage brooches from the 1950s, Baroque and freshwater pearls, Balinese silver, sterling silver, variety of Czech glass beads, Swarovski crystal, new and vintage, and Swarovski's leaded glass crystal that makes a ton of rainbows. But my art, both my paintings and my jewelry, it's more from the source for me, and it is very sparkly. But the intention behind that sparkly is to invoke smiles within the viewers and within the wearers. And like most humans, I am not devoid of experiencing and witnessing pain in life. And that's part of this human experience, is suffering. And to be able to smile and be reminded of hope and be reminded of joy in life is really important and valuable. And I learned over the years, that 30 plus years that I have been working with beads and paint, that sparkles make people smile. It gets people out of their head, out of their suffering, and reminds people of something greater, which is joy. I also paint. My father was a professional painter, John Swingler, but I didn't get into painting till really after he died. Then I really started focusing on painting. Prior to that, I wanted to make my own name in art, and that was through jewelry. But I had to come to terms with it and create it in a way that I felt was a noble purpose for life. And that had purpose, and that is healing through sparkle, making the world a more joyous place one sparkle at a time.
This year, 154 participating artists are...
Which is the most we have ever had. Mm-hmm. I've been on the committee now for 9 years, 10th year participating, and usually we have around 100 participating artists. Last year, I believe it was 31 artists that participated, and this year it's 154, which is phenomenal. So we have a lot of new artists, many artists that have not have participated in the past that are returning, like Susan Block. She's an amazing glass artist. We have a lot of new artists as well. Ferndale is exploding with artists. We have so many new artists down in Ferndale this year. It's quite extraordinary. So that's an adventure in its own self. Yeah, it's pretty neat that we have so... Oh, and then also we have a lot of youth art. That is something that Monica's have really been promoting, and we have all been gotten on board promoting the youth art. And this year we have the Boys and Girls Club. They have multiple artists that will be participating, and it's really impressive what the kind of work that they are producing, as well as Trajectory, which is for developmentally delayed adults. They are participating as well, which is pretty spectacular. So we have such a gamut of artists, from people that are new to creating, who are still getting their feet wet in learning how to be professional artists, learning the difference between surviving and thriving. And then we also have thriving artists, people that this is their full-time profession, making art year-round.
Mary, you said before we started recording, you said you're a newbie.
Yes, I am.
Now, is this your first year participating?
Second year.
Mm-hmm. And also your second year on the steering committee?
Yes.
What are a couple of things that stand out for you as steering committee member about North Coast Open Studios this year?
It seems like people are pretty excited about participating, and it was really an eye-opener when I was making phone calls to past participants and reminding them, hey, we're Open Studios is coming up, deadline to register, and it's many of the artists is like, oh yes, I need to get my application in. And it was nice to have that reminder, they said. So being able to reach out to artists that have participated, and even I've reached out to new artists as well and asked them, hey, this is great work. Would you be interested in the North Coast Open Studio? And they would ask me what it was all about, and I was able to explain the whole process and what we do, and they thought that was a wonderful idea and that they weren't aware of it. So just total outreach too has been very helpful, being on the steering committee.
Do you ever get a chance to talk to each other or other artists and ask questions?
Oh, I love doing that. I usually try to make little visits with other artists between the two weekends, because we're so busy during the weekends. But yeah, I love visiting other artist studios. I find it so fascinating how people work and create, the inspiration derived from seeing other artists and going, oh, wow, look how they're tweaking this, or look how they're using this brush stroke or this particular material, and they're pushing this material beyond what its intended purpose is. It's quite fascinating and very inspiring.
It is. And then when we have people that come through and ask us questions, what were you thinking when you were making this? That just kind of sparks so many stories, and it just, you could see the customer's eyes just kind of light up and just smile, because I love the story behind of what you were doing and what were you thinking. And it's almost like they acknowledge us as human beings. We have feelings, and we have stories to tell through our artwork.
Artists Mary Bancud Bettis and Christina Anastasia Swingler. The 19th annual North Coast Open Studios, this Saturday and Sunday, June 3rd and 4th, and next Saturday and Sunday, June 10th and 11th. Hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There will also be a First Friday North Coast Open Studios Art Night this Friday, June 2nd, 6 to 9 p.m., offered by 80 of the 154 participating artists. Open Studios guidebooks are available at businesses around the county, including Wildberries in Arcata and Pearson Building Center in Eureka, as well as on the Open Studios websites, which is northcoastopenstudios.com. And more Open Studios information is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Art Waves is produced for KHSU at Humboldt State University. I'm Wendy Butler, and I produce, engineer, and host this program. You can listen in real time on the radio Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m., as well as listen online to regular and archived broadcasts at khsu.org. And podcasts are also available on iTunes. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Evans was one of the great artists of the 20th century and of all time. If you dig modern jazz, tune in to Gone Sides, Tuesday starting at 8 p.m. I'm your host, Darius Brotman. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesdays on KHSU, your jazz station.
Every day, people from all walks of life square their shoulders and shake up the world. NPR's All Things Considered tries to capture some of that magic.
Dating with Tourette's is really not as big of a deal as somebody could potentially think it might be. Everybody has some baggage.
All Things Considered from NPR News. Listen later today.
Tonight at 5 on KHSU.
Listener-supported diverse public radio for the North Coast of California and the South Coast of Oregon. This is KHSU and KHSU HD, 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Support for KHSU comes from Six Rivers Optical, serving Humboldt County for over 25 years and offering one-hour lab service on prescriptions in stock. Open Monday through Saturday, Six Rivers Optical is across from Lima's Pharmacy in Eureka. Further support comes from Arcata Artisans Cooperative Gallery on the Plaza, offering locally made fine art and craft gifts and art cards. Artist reception during Arts Arcata. Arcata Artisans, never not local. Learn more at arcataartisans.com. Tuesday, it's 2. It's time for How to Breathe Underwater. I'm Gobi Blank. Thanks for tuning in on the day after Memorial Day. Hope you had a fun time remembering, honoring, certainly did.